Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show, making sure all the buttons are pushed that should be pushed. Tom, how are you today? We're certainly hoping for some rain, even looks like a 70% chance.
Well, there's some dark clouds on yon horizon off to the east and over into the south. So I got my fingers crossed.
Well, our place in the central foothills has been in the non-soon section.
Term has just been coined.
Yep, we're in the non-soon sector so far. So the plants now are just screaming, please give me some of nature's water, not the water out of the hose. Anyway, it's Buckmaster on the first day of July today to all of our Canada friends, and I've traveled extensively to Canada, enjoyed many visits up there. It is Canada Day. It's July 1st, 2022, the day that Canada celebrates their confederation, their kind of the creation of modern Canada. The Buckmaster Show in 10, our broadcast station, 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. We're now 11 and a half years into our radio project after 22 years at Channel 6 on TV. So we've got our worldwide live listening and podcasts at buckmastershow.com, our very extensive archive, going back to the first week of January 2011. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we do a big media shout out to the TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith, thanks, Dylan, for all of your support. Green Valley News and the Sahorita Sun. Dan Shear and his team down there do a great job, and they've been so supportive over the years. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio publications, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Public Defender Megan Page is with us. Megan was the unanimous choice on April 19th of the Pima County Board of Supervisors to replace Joel Feinman, who Joel resigned in March. He's now living up in Victoria, British Columbia. Megan Page, 37 years old. She's worked for the Public Defender's Office for 11 years. Most recently, she was the Chief Assistant Public Defender, a position that she held for 4 years. She received her bachelor's degree in history from the University of Arizona in 2007, graduating summa cum laude. And then she went on for her law degree from the UA James E. Rogers College of Law in 2010, again graduating summa cum laude. That means she's really smart. Hey, Megan, good to see you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And joining us in studio, one of our Friday roundtable contributors, Eddie Celaya, cannabis writer at the Arizona Daily Star, host of the Marijuana Oriented Podcast, which just posted their eighth podcast in the past 2 months, right?
Yep, eighth one.
The name is Here Weed Go.
Yes, and I also want to point out, I won my fifth grade chess championship, so...
You're real smart,
I guess
too.
I've got some...
I don't know how to play chess, so... There you go.
Cum laude there.
Do you still play chess?
And now and then, yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to
keep sharp.
Got to be smart to do that. So I have two very smart people with me in studio today. Hey, Megan, what for our listeners who get confused about what a public defender does, give us kind of the overview, the elevator pitch.
Sure. So the Constitution provides that anyone who is charged with a felony offense is entitled to the appointment of an attorney to represent them. And so the Public Defender's Office was created to represent indigent individuals who can't afford to hire their own attorney. We represent people in adults in felony cases. We also do adult misdemeanor representation. There are certain cases where People charged with misdemeanors are also entitled to a lawyer. And then we represent mostly parents in dependency proceedings. That's, you know, cases where the state is seeking to take custody of someone's children, and juveniles in juvenile delinquency proceedings, which are similar to when juveniles are charged with crimes.
That can get very emotional.
Yes.
When you're dealing with the parents and the custody.
Yes.
I mean, I've just seen it on, in the movies and on TV, but I imagine that that's the way it is in real life.
Yeah, you know, I've never, I was always a felony attorney. I've never handled any dependency cases, but I my hat's off to the attorneys who do that, because it is a really emotionally charged situation.
So, Megan, if someone is offered, and all people charged are offered a defense, what if they decline and say, I don't need an attorney.
I am my own attorney.
What is, yeah, there you go. So what does the judge typically say? Well, do you want to represent yourself?
So that does happen. The judge is actually required to have a conversation and make sure that that person really is competent and is voluntarily choosing to represent themselves. And often the judges will explain why it's in someone's best interest. It doesn't happen that often for felony cases. I think people are pretty terrified about being in the circumstance they're in. It does happen more frequently in misdemeanor cases, however.
And your team numbers how many attorneys?
The whole office has approximately 85 attorneys.
And you could use how many?
We could use probably 7 or 8 more. Arizona is actually a really progressive state in the sense that we have a law that says that public defenders are not effective if they have too many cases. So under the Arizona Constitution, essentially, we have the ability to say we're full. Which is important because in many jurisdictions, public defenders have so many cases that they really can't effectively represent their clients. And so the poorest among us end up with attorneys who, despite their best efforts, really cannot effectively represent them. We are so lucky here that we are able to say we cannot effectively represent clients at these caseloads. And so there are other offices, there are contract attorneys who handle that overflow. But it's much more expensive for the county to pay contract attorneys on an hourly basis. So if we could find the attorneys, I think the county would support us in having a few more.
You have said we're full.
Yeah, well, we do take cases every single day, yeah. But right now we are very regularly sending cases out of the office because our attorneys simply cannot handle the number of cases that are being filed.
All right, let's bring in my co-host, Eddie Salaya. Eddie, go ahead.
Just as a follow-up to that, what does it look like when you can't take those cases and you do have to transfer them? Where do those cases go?
So they would go to either the legal defender or legal advocate's office, and those are both county divisions. So those are people who work, the attorneys work for the county in-house. And then if they can't take the cases, they would go to a private attorney who has a contract with the county to represent indigent clients on an hourly basis.
Got it. So obviously there is the county attorney's office. What kind of relationship? Is it cooperation? Is it coordination? Is it competition? Or is there really any relationship to be had at all?
You know, it's an adversarial system, right? So, I mean, the way that our system of criminal justice is designed, you're on two different sides. So there's always some adversarial, just the nature of it. I do think Pima County has a pretty collegial relationship between the defense bar and the county attorney. We're able to pick up the phone and call prosecutors and you know, discuss cases. It depends, you know, on the individuals involved, but we don't have a terribly adversarial to the point where it's an unpleasant place to work.
What do the caseloads look like right now?
Sure. For our felony trial attorneys, we try to keep the cases at about 35 to 40 cases. They do go up above that, and it's dependent on the attorney. What the case law really says is that the attorneys need to evaluate their caseload and say, look, I just could not be effective if I took another case. I do think it's important, though, to distinguish between what effective means, because what we don't want is our attorneys to be so overburdened that the clients, you know, while they may not be providing unconstitutional representation, they're not giving the clients the type of representation they deserve. And I feel very strongly that, you know, just because our clients are poor and marginalized, they shouldn't be given a lesser defense than someone who has $25,000 to, you know, hire a private attorney. That's not how the criminal justice system should be designed.
You sometimes get people who can well afford a private attorney, but for some reason they just say they would prefer a public attorney,
no,
a public defender. That just doesn't.
They have to fill out a financial affidavit in order to be appointed an attorney.
Gotcha. All right. This next question, Eddie, is kind of up your alley because I understand that there's a higher number of personal drug possession cases now being prosecuted, Megan.
Yes. You know, during the pandemic, there were a couple times that the county attorney's office issued memos to law enforcement stating that they were not going to charge personal possession cases. That was largely in response to wanting to reduce the jail population to prevent COVID from overtaking the jail. But now we are back to the county attorney charging personal drug possession cases, and we are seeing those numbers go up quite a bit.
Hmm. Are you seeing those personal possessions being in just excess amount of marijuana than is legally allowable for adult use?
In Pima County, marijuana possession is not charged typically as a, even before marijuana was legalized, it wasn't typically charged as a felony. What we're talking about are very small amounts of, you know, methamphetamine or cocaine or, you know, narcotics and that type of thing.
Any uptick in fentanyl?
Yes, there are a lot of fentanyl cases right now, and that is certainly devastating.
Go ahead, Eddie.
Now, just as far as now that was for marijuana possession, are you still seeing any marijuana dealing charges?
Oh,
any,
sure.
And what are those? What does the prosecution of those sort of look like? Are people still getting big time jail sentences for those sort of crimes, or have they dialed that back since adult use has been legalized here?
You know, I can't speak to what every single plea would look like right now. Arizona has mandatory sentencing laws. I do think we are getting more probation available pleas, but that would also depend on the amount of marijuana involved. Mm. You know, there's a range. There are people who might be selling on a small level, and then there are people who are transporting, you know, 100 pounds of marijuana across the border, and those are two different cases.
Just along with the passage of adult use, there was also the implementation of, what is it called? I'm drawing a blank here.
Expungement.
Yes. Have you helped at all with any of those cases for folks and just providing documentation that they've been through the process?
So we have, the Public Defense Services has a weekly legal clinic that is free for everyone, anyone who wants to use our services. They don't have to have been a former client of the Public Defender's Office. And we help with things like civil rights restoration, misdemeanor designation, and we are helping people fill out the form that the county attorney's office is using to file those petitions. So a lot of times people don't have the basis for finding out, you know, it's asking for specific information, like what was your case number? What was your conviction for? And not everyone saves all their paperwork, right? And so they're able to come in, we can look that up for them, and we're helping people in that way.
What about personal use? What is considered legal for personal use? How much marijuana?
Ounce and a half.
There you go.
Ounce and a half. Okay. But even for, you mentioned personal use for something like cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the cases that we see are very small amounts of cocaine. We see amounts as low as, you know, less than a gram, mm-hmm. which would be a sugar packet.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. it's no amount is legal to possess in Arizona.
So the county attorney Laura Conover and her team are sending, do you think, too many of these cases over to you, or you'd like to see a lot less?
I would like to see none. Yeah, we see do none. Have a pre-indictment diversion program known as STEPS, which is a relatively new program. The idea behind it is to get people hooked into treatment very quickly, and if they successfully participate, not necessarily complete treatment, then at some point the case is dismissed without them ever being formally charged. About 50% of the people who are eligible for that program go to the initial hearing where they need to be in order to qualify for the program. And, you know, I don't think that's surprising given that the population we're talking about are often homeless or, you know, people with insecure housing that lack transportation, that are suffering from substance abuse disorder. Mm-hmm. And so telling them to come back for a hearing in, you know, 5 days, you're going to lose quite a few of those people just in that time period. You know, I very strongly believe that substance abuse is a behavioral health issue that should be handled by people being in treatment rather than being prosecuted. Our jails are not treatment facilities. Our prisons are not treatment facilities. I know the criminal justice system is overburdened, and there are a lot of other offenses that we could be focusing on rather than having so many personal possession cases in the criminal justice system in any way.
You would like to see all of these cases go to the STEPS program.
I would like them to not get into the criminal justice system at all. I would like to see people deflected into treatment. Mm-hmm. There's no other public health issue that we treat by putting people in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And even when people are in jail for short periods of time, right, their tolerance for drugs goes down. And if they get out and use, they're at higher risk of overdose. They're not showing up to their jobs. They're losing their housing. And so they're being even more destabilized by being involved in the criminal justice system.
And you're bringing a lot of people who are considered homeless into the system, right? And
sure.
These are people that are told, well, what's your address? What are they, my address is a shopping cart at such and such, and we want you to come back, and they probably don't come back.
Right, right. And they're not getting mail sent to their house. They don't have transportation. Most of our clients, significant percentage of our clients, have mental health issues. They have substance abuse issues. They have histories of trauma. And so when someone gets involved in the system, things that to many of us may seem simple, like put this in your calendar and show up to court, is much more difficult for the people that we're representing. And so the more we can keep people out of the system, the better.
Let's pause right here. We'll have more with Megan Page, the Pima County Public Defender. And Eddie Celaya is here, the cannabis reporter, writer for the Arizona Daily Star, host of the podcast, which continues to grow in popularity, called Here Weed Go. He has now a national following. And let's take caller Matt, so Matt doesn't have to, not that he wouldn't mind probably, sitting through and listening to the great Buckmaster Show supporters. But Matt, what is your question for Megan Page? You are on the air.
Appreciate the conversation. Megan, what's your outreach program regarding maybe the schools or the public in general to try and basically, get the message out about the problems you're seeing and how they can avoid these issues and the consequences? Thank you. Bye.
Do you have the resources, Megan, to do anything with schools or the younger people?
Don't really. Like I said, we have our clinic. We try to get out to things like second chance resource fairs, reentry programs. I would love to be in schools more. And if I think there was more, and I guess I don't necessarily know what you're referring to as far as the issues and how to avoid them. But there are a lot of law enforcement in schools, and I do think it would be good if there was some understanding of the other side of these issues. But I think changing the narrative generally is really important, and that's part of something that I want to continue to work on, because when people hear criminals and the criminal justice system, I think they imagine very different people than the people that we are
seeing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's pause right here. We'll be back on the Buckmaster Show. Our live line, 790-2040. That's the number that Matt called on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's Buckmaster on a Friday in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Megan Page is with us. This is Megan's first visit to the Buckmaster Show. Her boss, her former boss, was with us on a bunch of occasions, Joel Feinman. I think I've known Joel for, I don't know, 20 years maybe. But anyway, as my first introduction to Megan Page, the new Pima County public defender, I have to say, so far, I'm very impressed. Eddie Celaya is with us, and I'm always impressed with the work Eddie does. He's a cannabis reporter for the Arizona Daily Star, and generally a smart guy who is very good at chess, and he's just a good guy. But anyway.
Thanks, pal.
All right, Megan, you and your predecessor, Joel, you two kind of moved toward what is called a model for holistic defense. What is that?
That is the idea of using a multidisciplinary team to address the individual client as a whole person. So the idea that, as we were just briefly talking about, the people that are coming into the criminal justice system and needing our services have a whole host of underlying issues that led them to the point where they were in this system. And so, yes, we need to defend their criminal case, but having, you know, social workers available to assist with things like connection to services, motivational interviewing just to find out what the underlying issues are. You know, is there a history of trauma that needs to be addressed?
Does, and attorneys aren't necessarily trained to do that kind of social work, right?
No, I mean, attorneys, I think we like to believe we can do everything, but no, we are not trained to do that type of work.
But you need these people, and there just aren't enough.
We do. And, you know, I think anyone who's been a public defender would say that they are a public defender. They're an attorney. They're a social worker. They're a counselor. They're a shoulder to cry on. That's part of the job. But if we can bring in people who are specially trained to do some of that work, the outcomes for our clients will be so much better.
Public defending is a calling. I mean, you guys are not in it for the money generally.
That is true.
You could be making a lot more money in private practice. And I'm sure there are some attorneys that would see this maybe right out of law school. Well, good way to put my toes in the water, test and see how it goes. But generally, you have people that are really motivated to the cause.
Yes, I think that's true. I think people that get into criminal work wanting to get a lot of trial experience tend to go into prosecution. I think, being someone who wants to get into the jail and sit down for hours with a client who's charged with something that many people would find to be horrific, that it may be horrific, but being willing to sit down and take the time to get to know that person as a human being and treat them with respect and give them dignity, I think that takes people who really view it as a calling.
Here's Eddie Salaya.
You've talked about bringing on more staff. You talked about retaining staff. What are some kind of measures or practices you can do to accomplish that goal? Is it better pay? Is it more benefits?
So better pay would always be great. There's always limited resources when you work for the government. I will say we did recently, the county reevaluated the pay structure for attorneys and some of our other positions. So we were able to make some adjustments, but always having more money would be helpful. It's also expanding recruitment efforts. I think historically we relied a lot on ASU and U of A to get people into the office, and that didn't result in the most diverse workforce. So making an effort to reach out to career offices across the country to talk about things like our cost of living here, our climate, the resources we have. But then when you also look at something like holistic defense, the fact that we have a social work unit to support attorneys in that way is very unique in the state of Arizona and most of the country. We have support staff, we have managed caseloads. So I think it's also getting out there that we have the support for our people and that we're going to continue to fight for that.
Who came up with the social work unit idea? Is that something that you guys look to, you and Joel, another place, another city, or where'd that come from?
Yeah, Joel was looking at models in D.C. and the Bronx, and we actually had a social worker from the Bronx Public Defender come out and meet with us and do sort of a consultation about where she thought social work would fit in and come up with a plan, and then we used that to advocate for positions with the county.
Go ahead, Eddie.
So you talked a little bit as well about diversifying the workplace. What kind of metrics are you using to measure that diversity, and what does that kind of success look like for you in that way?
I think success will look like having attorneys that are representative of the clients that we serve. And the way that we're trying to do that is to go out and get into career offices in schools that have a more diverse student body. And so we are looking to schools that have an emphasis on public interest work, that have more diverse student body, especially places with higher costs of living and oversaturated markets where we can lure people here to Tucson, but making that more of an emphasis on recruiting. The hard part being an attorney is you have to be licensed in Arizona. So we have to try to convince people to come out and take the Arizona bar. We do have a summer federal work study law clerk program. And so we've had some success bringing people in to be law clerks to get a sense of what our office and culture is like. And we've had success in hiring some of those people as attorneys.
The public often sees public defender as kind of bleeding heart liberals, and they don't really understand that that as someone charged with a crime does have a right to be represented.
Yes. There are certainly bleeding heart liberals in our office.
Of course.
There are also, staunch conservatives and libertarians who believe firmly in the constitutional protection to have an effective defense, effective assistance if you're charged with a crime, and to have that defense. And what I would say to people who have said to me, how do you do this line of work?
And that is said to you, I bet, once a week.
Yes, it is a very common thing that public defenders hear. Yeah. And I think there are two things. The first is none of us want to be judged by the worst thing that we have ever done. We've all made mistakes. We've all done things that we regret. And that doesn't define most of us. And when we think about people charged with crimes as the defendant and we take away their humanity and their personhood, we are defining them by one moment in their life. And no one should be judged that way. But the other part of it is that we have this constitutional right to a defense. And how would you feel if it was your father or your son or your brother that was charged with a crime, whether they were guilty or not, if that was close to home, you would be wanting a lawyer that was going to go out and fight and make sure that their rights were protected. And that's what we do.
Also, everyone has a right, if you are charged, Megan Page, as you know, to what is called a speedy trial.
Correct.
Now, that can be very subjective. I think during the pandemic, the speedy trial turned out to be a really slow day in court.
Yes, you know, it is very rare that people actually exercise their right to a speedy trial.
Right.
And there are many reasons for that. You know, when you're the defense attorney, you're getting the case from the beginning. A prosecutor gets a case that police have worked up. They've done this investigation. And then when it comes to the defense, we get this whole investigation that's been done, and we have to start from square one to say, what are the problems with this? What are the defenses? So that usually takes time. Disclosures slow. We have a lot more body-worn camera footage now, which is really helpful, but also all has to be redacted before it can come to us. And that's a slow process that takes a long time. So there are a lot of reasons that people rarely get to invoke. They can invoke, but choose not to invoke their right to a speedy trial. But you're right, in the pandemic, everything was slowed down so much that people really, we got this backlog, and people have been sitting in custody for a long time.
Who was your influence? Your father was an attorney and still is an attorney. Was there someone else in a legal area that when you were a little girl, did you like play act in front of like a jury or something?
I mean,
like I threw the ball against the wall and announced games, like I was pretending like I was an announcer. So that's, look where I am right now, right? So, I mean, how did your path come to the law?
So I didn't grow up wanting to be a lawyer, and my father actively encouraged me not to go to law school. I have always felt very strongly about people being treated fairly, and I've always been a very empathetic person, and it bothers me when other people are being treated unfairly or in a situation where they are hurt or suffering and no one's helping them. I went to undergrad thinking I was going to be a history professor. Mm-hmm. I studied Latin American history and was going to be a professor about all the problems in many Latin American countries, and went to law school actually then thinking I could make more of a difference if I went into immigration law. Mm. But when I was in law school, I started clerking at the federal public defender and took criminal law classes and just fell in love with it and decided that that was the way I could help people.
Eddie, there's still some time for you in this interview.
What are your feelings towards the ending of, or suspending of, I guess, cash bail?
I absolutely think we should be ending cash bail. The idea that people can buy their way out of custody, that if you're charged with the same crime as someone else, that you don't get out because you're poor, it seems abhorrent to me. We need to be making a decision about whether someone is really a risk. And a lot of people are held in custody, in my opinion, who are not a risk to the community.
Now, you've talked a little bit about kind of some of the traumas and some of the incidents that your attorneys kind of have to be party to and defend.
Sure.
What kind of like resources are there for them to, I guess, vent to or just talk about sometimes, because this could be heavy stuff.
So that's such an important conversation. And, you know, the county has an EAP program. There are county resources, but I think that's a benefit of being in a big office like ours, because I can't count the number of times I went and sat in someone's office and said, I can't believe what I just heard from a client, or I can't believe what I just read in their, you know, history. And so I think it's really important to have that kind of a support system so that you can get through it, because you're taking on other people's trauma on a daily basis.
All right. If someone is interested, social worker, about working in your office, what would be the best way to go, Megan?
You should go to the Pima County's employment page. There's a link to, I think it's NeoGov, mm-hmm. I think. And there are links to apply. You can filter by department. We are part of Public Defense Services, and we are recruiting attorneys and social workers. So
I had one other question. This always happens to me, and I was ready to end the interview, but something else came along. And since it's my show, I can ask one more question, right,
it's
Eddie?
It's always great to have your own show.
Well, yeah. I mean, ask my own question. You brought up, or Eddie brought it up, about cash bail. whose decision is that? Is that a state thing, or how does that? Who,
yeah, the law would have to be changed. There'd have to be a legislative.
And is
action.
There a move toward changing that?
There's a push towards it. Any criminal justice reform is unfortunately slower than I would like it to be.
Okay, Megan Page, thank you very much. Good luck with the new job.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a break right here, and we'll talk with Eddie Celaya as we kind of go one-on-one with Eddie right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Megan Page. Very impressed with Miss Page, the new Pima County public defender. And I think Eddie Celaya shares my view on that.
I do. I was pretty blown away by how she just composed herself and everything. She was great.
Very transparent. Eddie Celaya is cannabis writer at the Arizona Daily Star and host of the marijuana-oriented podcast, Here Weed Go, which is now coming out every week, or was it 10 days?
Every week on Wednesday.
Wow.
You can stream it on any of the major streaming platforms.
And you're covering just about everything to do with marijuana.
We are. We are from the academic to the legal to the legislative to talking with a two-time NBA champion for this last episode.
Yeah, former Chicago Bull, right?
Former Chicago Bull, Craig Hodges, yes.
Did he talk during that interview about use of marijuana while playing basketball?
He did. He touched on using it before high school and his college games at Long Beach State, where he actually played for Tex Winter, who designed the triangle offense.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how during one game, Tex Winter could tell that they were pretty stoned out there actually confronted him. And he said, "Gentlemen, that marijuana puts you in a state of euphoria.
Mm.
You got to get back in this game."
Yeah. You know, but it does bring up, you wonder how many athletes are using.
We actually touch on that.
The college level, pro level, whatever. What did he think?
He said that he thinks that with the NBA's drug testing policy, when and if people do test positive for marijuana, the only ones that we'll probably hear about are folks that are not stars. Let's say if, like, he gave the example of, let's say if Steph Curry or LeBron James did test positive, we would probably hear, they're taking two or three games off for an ankle or something along those lines.
Then we have that women's basketball pro.
Oh, wow.
Who went on trial, I believe, today.
Today?
In Russia.
Yes.
She could be facing 10 years in prison in Russia, and she had some THC product with her, allegedly.
Yes, she actually had
maybe it isn't allegedly. I don't know, but that's what the charge
allegedly
is.
Allegedly, she had some vaping cartridges with mm-hmm. her that they found.
Okay, legislative wrapped up their session. We've got a new budget. Anything that you saw coming out of the budget or the legislature?
So it reached the last day. There was House Bill 2050, and what that would have done, had it gone through, was expanded rural access to dispensaries, because there are some there are some counties that lack medical dispensaries, and those can offer products with higher THC limits and some other expanded products. And then it also, maybe more significantly, would have really expanded the testing regimen here in Arizona to where dispensaries already have to have everything on their shelves tested. Growers and producers have to do that as well. However, those test results have not, they are not now required to be sent to the Arizona Department of Health Services. And this bill would have done that.
I'm sure you'll be covering this national story that was in the New York Times. And the headline was, "As weed becomes more potent, so do its risks." The subheading on this, "High THC levels have left some teens addicted and dangerously ill." Let's begin with high THC levels. Are there laws in Arizona that say how high those levels can be?
There are no laws currently having to do with THC potency or THC levels. There was actually this last legislative session in Colorado, something proposed that was defeated. And the only two states that have those caps are Vermont and Connecticut. Mm-hmm. They cap theirs at 30% THC content for marijuana flower, which you usually see, and then concentrates, which through different processes extract pretty much all the THC that's in a marijuana plant and can exceed up to 90% in some concentrate levels.
So the flower can only produce you can only get to a certain level of a THC level.
That's right.
I mean, as high as you could possibly go with the flower, but as you said, through processes, you could really boost it.
Yeah, and there are multiple processes, some of them more natural, if you will, or others. Some, they just freeze the actual plant and mm-hmm. then literally squeeze it so that the resin or rosin comes out. And then there are other processes that are what we would deem a little bit more chemical, where you can blow butane through them in tight spaces and get basically that same I guess what you will extract out of it.
And the teens are really doing the vaping, aren't they?
Yes, and then those vape cartridges, those can contain THC contents that are, again, upwards of 90%.
Wow.
And that is usually 3 to 4 times more potent than any sort of flower that mm-hmm. you can find.
Mm-hmm. What do the laws say about vaping in Arizona?
Number one, if you're a teen, you are not allowed to do that, especially if it has to do with cannabis.
If you're 18 or under?
Yeah, any 18 or under, that is verboten. You actually are allowed you're not allowed to smoke, like put flame to flower indoors at certain venues. However, you can vape THC at venues that allow it indoors. Mm. So that's kind of the difference between the two.
All right, Eddie, what should we look for? You got any stories coming up?
Definitely be looking for the second half of my interview with Craig Hodges. He'll go into a little bit more of the Jordan versus Kobe debate. He actually coached for 2 championships on the
Michael
Lakers.
Michael Jordan.
Yes, sir. And then on the cannabis front as well, we'll also be featuring an episode with the Star's former border reporter, Kurt Prendergast. And he'll be talking about what's changed with marijuana coming over the border in the last 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, Kurt was with us just last Friday
on
the show, and he was talking about the big change in smuggling. Not a lot of arrests concerning the big thing with smuggling marijuana.
Yeah, it's definitely more to do with human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to hear how if they're even bringing marijuana across in large quantities, just because in a lot of the border states now it's legal.
So. All right, Eddie Celaya, we'll look for your work, not only in the Star, but here, Weed, WEED, go your podcast. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
We celebrate independence on the 4th of July, but do the fireworks represent the meaning today? Let's join together Monday, July 4th, at 10 a.m. in front of the Udall Park Recreation Center for a community reading of the Declaration of Independence, copies provided. That's Monday, July 4th, 10 a.m. at Udall Park Rec Center. Look for the flags and come say the words yourself.
And away we go with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We love Silver City, especially this time of year when they've had 4 or 5 inches of rain over the past 2 weeks, and the temperatures have been just really, really delightful over in Silver. Mid-80s now for the highs. Can't beat it the way the greening of the Gila National Wilderness. Great time of year to take that road trip, only about a three-hour drive. Start your planning now by going to southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. Find out where to stay, and there's some great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, and yes, he did break out the Uncle Sam suit. Every year he does this on the Friday before the 4th of July. Only problem is a food and beverage columnist has gained a few pounds in that Uncle Sam suit.
And just, you know, I'm a little bit worried. It's a little bit snug, Bill. I think I've got 3 days to lose 20 pounds. What do you say?
And you know, that and that Uncle Sam, that mustache and the goatee thing is just getting a, it's a little old, I think.
Cover your eyes, kid.
Anyway, it's time to get all psyched up for a star-spangled spectacular.
It absolutely is. You know, the broad stripes and bright stars are going to start unfolding this weekend, and Marana will be the place to be on Sunday to get your 4th of July pregame underway. On July 3rd, it's that Star-Spangled Spectacular at Crossroads Park, where from 5 to 9:30 p.m., you're going to get an American birthday bounty of holiday activities, a car show. There's going to be field games, and here it comes, more than 30 local food trucks are going to be on hand to serve their very best. Now, that's what I call a culinary convoy. Just about 17,000 people attend this event every year, Bill, making it the largest organized July 4th event in Southern Arizona. So don't miss out. It's Sunday in Marana.
I understand El Mesquite has something special planned.
You bet. On the slate of celebrations from Monday, July 4th, you know, they're over there at the new Doubletree downtown. They've got some fun things planned that will give us all a little chance to be interactive as we prepare our palates for the festivities. Starting at 5 o'clock, you'll enjoy a build-your-own taco station where you can just go to town and stuff those tortillas however you'd like. They're also going to be featuring a build-your-own Sonoran dog station where you can use your imagination to fashion the most spectacular Sonoran dog in the world. Extra bacon, please! And an amazing view of the fireworks from A Mountain after dinner. You will take great comfort knowing that you are definitely in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
How about a little vino?
Also on Monday on July 4th, yeah, it's a special patriotic wine event at the Sharon Vineyards Tasting Room out in Vail. It's the Red, Blue, and Wine Extravaganza. They're going to be pouring selections to match our nation's colors. So for the red, they're going to be featuring one of their Merlots that seems to be generating some buzz. For the blue, it's a refreshing blueberry wine slushy. And for the white, of course, choose from some of the great white wines they'll have on hand. It's noon to 6 at Sharon Vineyards Tasting Room on July the 4th.
And a couple of seconds on the column.
Yeah, I sat down with a couple of restaurateurs who are doing some fascinating things with pickles these days, kind of elevating them from gratuitous garnish to signature elements in their dishes and drinks. My delicious story, get it, is in Inside Tucson Business, Bill.
Have a great 4th. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks so much.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, everybody here at KVOI, including my longtime engineer and producer on our Friday show, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely Independence Day weekend.